soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Greetings from Guardian Mountain. Something wonderful came to me this morning in meditation, and I really want to try to get this across. It is just fabulous. And it started with looking at some of the spiritual principles behind supply. You know, I guess we've all heard that scripture, "I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly." I think sometimes we hear principles in a personal way rather than an impersonal way. And God is impersonal, no respecter of persons. So if we can hear with impersonal ears, of course, then we're listening with our Christ hearing. And when we hear scriptures in an impersonal way, they take on a whole new meaning. Therefore, listening again, "I, Christ, within you have come that they might have life and life more abundantly." And so, Christ has come that you might be a transparency for that abundance to flow out, not for an abundance to come to you. And another scripture came immediately on the heels of that one, which was, if you pray for your family, for your friends, for those that you love, what reward have ye? Remember that? We're taught that we don't have, that abundance is not flowing through us when we're doing that, because then we're loving in a personal way. And so Christ commences to teach us how to love in an impersonal way. And he says this by saying, we need to pray for our enemies. And goes on to say, for those that persecute us and, you know, give us a hard time. We are supposed to pray for those souls. And I put these two together. I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. And pray for your enemies. And wow, right smack dab in the forehead, a realization came. That we are supposed to be loving impersonally. We're not supposed to be loving personally. In our humanhood, we love personally. We like this one a little bit more than that one because of certain judgments that we've made. Or perhaps they treat us a little better. We see a little more good in them than in the other ones. The other ones seem selfish and mean, egotistical. And so we love these here more than we love those there. And that's loving personally. But love is of God. True love is God. God is love, John says. Now how can a person love personally? That means that we're trying to, that in some way, shape, or form, we have found a way to use God and pour it out in a personal way. Why, that, the whole concept is ridiculous. What does that mean to us? Well, I'm afraid to say that means that we have not been loving at all. That whatever we're doing as a person in a personal way is not love. It's not love at all. And I guess probably the person in us does not like to look at that and does not like to hear that. But we are told, we are taught by Christ within us, here is how you love Him personally. Pray for your enemies. Now, to practice this principle of allowing that abundant life, abundant prayer to pour forth through us in an impersonal way, it's going to be necessary to set aside some time every day in which we can become quiet and become still, become channels through which that love, the love of Christ, the impersonal love, can flow. And let's start with, well, if we have any immediate enemies in our family or our town, we can start with them. But if we don't, then let us turn our attention to the people that are called terrorists. I know this is not going to be a very popular talk, because this is probably something that the person in us revolts at. But if we would be the children of God, of our loving Father, then we have to be channels through which His love flows. And so we turn our attention to the troubled souls that would believe that by blowing someone up, they can further bring about God's will on earth. And that's what they believe. And so, let us take that into meditation. How can we become channels through which God's love can flow to all those that would persecute anyone, anywhere? To all those that would hurt anyone. As a person, we cannot. As a person, we cannot pretend to love those individuals. As a person, we cannot pretend to love that group. All we have to do is turn on the news, and it's very graphic. And the person in us, the personal, the one that makes these judgments, immediately is right there. How could such a thing happen? How could they do this? But we have decided to go for broke, haven't we? We have decided to be a transparency through which Christ, through which God's love can flow. Therefore, we are investigating just how to do that to this group of people. And if we're honest, we eventually reach the place where we say, I do not know. I don't have that kind of love. But God does. The Father within me, He can do these works. And so I'm going to be still and just create an opening. Father, here is an open consciousness. And what the senses are showing me, the pictures out here, I know cannot be what is really there. I know you didn't create it. And so right in the midst of these individuals, right in the midst of this collective group, is your presence. And I am going to sit here and be still. Let your love flow out. Let your light awaken in them a longing for Thee. Let your light awaken them to your presence. Lift them up above the personal sense of life and let your impersonal love flow. And now I will be still. Not my love, thy love be done, in earth as it is in heaven. There is no one outside of God. There is no one that is not one with God. God's presence is omnipresence. Right in the midst of this appearance is God's presence. Father, forgive them. Do not have them pay any price whatsoever. In this moment of stillness, let your grace flow. Let the past be wiped out completely. Though their sins were as scarlet, let them be white as snow. Let them come before Allah and receive that gift of your presence. I am simply a beholder, a listener, watching your divine grace. For I know that you have come that they might have life, your life abundantly, your presence, and a realization of your grace. And now, if there is anyone else that I have been holding in a personal sense of condemnation, I ask that you release them now and release me. Thy grace is our sufficiency. Thou art our Father, and we are one. I do not claim that I can do this. As a person, I am nothing. But you, Father, within me, you can set us free. Thy grace, thy love, unlimited and boundless. And now, let us take a period each day, or several. Let us take two periods each day, some part of our meditation, and release any of these so-called enemies. Let us be a transparency and allow God's love, God's abundance to flow forth. If it's good enough for God to forgive 70 times 7, then it's good enough for us. If we want to be God's children, then we must step aside and allow that forgiveness to come through. But forgiveness is not something that we grant to someone. Forgiveness is the recognition that God's grace is right there. You have no way of knowing who on the other end is opening their consciousness to God. You have no way of knowing who is surrendering to Allah, who is receptive to your meditation. your meditation may be the one that opens the door to God's grace right in that individual and then in that part of the world. You do not know what great things God can accomplish through your consciousness. But when God says, "I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly," you can trust that. That is the purpose for the Christ, for the God consciousness within you. We can do the same thing with those individuals that are in charge of the government of whatever country we find ourselves in. Rather than taking a personal stance, "I like this, I don't like that, I like him or I like her," let us be done with that personal sense of love. And let us take these periods of meditation and let that love, which is of God, flow out. Again, you do not know which member of the government is turning in prayer, hoping against hope for an answer, that your meditation will awaken in them the right guidance and direction. We do not have to stand and take what the world dishes out. We have dominion, which is given us not personally to us, but which is given us by that presence at the center of our being, which will dissolve all conflict. So let us not be doormats, and let us not feel that we are powerless to do anything. As a person, yes, we are. But as the divine channel, instrument for the grace of God, we have the power to change the earth and those that dwell therein. Now we'll take and let this sink in a little bit and see what else is revealed. I have the feeling that it's time to mature a little bit spiritually. Each of us must begin to impersonalize in greater measure. Some of the ways that we can do this are, well, we just mentioned one way to love impersonally. But in our prayers and meditations and realizations, we can begin to make this change from a personal sense of things to an impersonal sense. When we think of God's grace as my sufficiency, that's a personal sense of grace. And it limits, by the very concept, it limits God, just as if I was praying for rain for my own garden. It's time to bring the rest of the world into your realizations. And so let us change that to God's grace is our sufficiency. As you create this opening, God's grace will not flow only to you. God's grace will flow through you and envelop every living thing. And so you are an instrument for that grace, not only to appear in your life, but to appear in all life. Do you see the difference there? When you're walking around and working with that principle, bring it up to an impersonal level. No longer is God's grace my sufficiency, but now, through this opening, God's grace is our sufficiency. We can do the same with, it is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. That's a personal sense of things. I do not believe that God works that way. God works for all. For all are the one child, the one expression of God. So God's grace is our sufficiency, and it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Just that little switch from being personal to praying impersonally. All of these prayers for God to help this person or help that person, usually someone that we like personally, are something that we need to outgrow now. I'm not saying that we cannot pray for anybody that we care about. I'm saying that there's a way to care for the entire creation equally, and to pray for all equally. When I was a child, something that I often pondered was, if there's a devil, why can't we pray for the devil? And I thought about this a lot. Couldn't we pray for the devil so that the devil would reach a place of surrender and say, I'm sorry, and ask for God's forgiveness and be accepted back into the fold? Wouldn't that eliminate all evil of any kind? And so, I actually, without talking to anybody, without telling anybody, I actually prayed for that devil. God, please let him surrender. Come back home to you. Forgive him. Yeah, that was something I pondered. And although it was somewhat childish, there was an element of truth in it. Anything that I hold a grudge toward is an enemy that needs to be prayed for. We were told to give our first fruits, and I know there's been many, many talks made on tithing, but what came to me about this is that we should give our first prayers to our enemies. And so if we find that there's something that we absolutely hate, or maybe just dislike, perhaps it's a physical problem that we have, or perhaps it's poverty in the world, or perhaps it's, I don't like this thing called Maya, or I don't like the illusion, I don't understand why we have to suffer. Whatever it is, it's an enemy. And we are learning that if we want the reward of being impersonal God consciousness, then we have to find a way to pray for that enemy too. And how do we do that? Simple. in our same meditation, we turn our attention to that and realize that I in the midst of thee am mighty. That I can let go of that now. I do not have to hold a grudge toward that. And you can fill that in. You can fill the blank in with whatever name you want. I no longer have to hold a grudge against world mind or carnal mind. And we can do this by releasing that which we have a grudge against. Recognizing right where that appears to be is the living presence of God. In order for God to be omnipresent, then the presence of God has to be where that problem is appearing. We turn our attention to this impersonal Christ love, and we try to see examples of it. Probably the two that come to mind first are the example of the adulteress. She was caught in the very act itself. And according to the law, the customs of that time, of which Jesus was a rabbi, they were going to take stones and throw them at her until enough stones hit her that they would kill her. Now that was the law. But here comes this presence teaching us that we are to love impersonally. Now let me paint the picture for you as it really is. This is an example of what these thoughts in your mind say to you when you have an enemy out here. These thoughts say, well, I'd like to pick up a stone and throw it at them. I'd like to just kill them. Perhaps they're not quite as severe, but you get the picture. There's a resentment. And we sit down to pray, and this thing comes to mind. Boy, I can't believe that he did thus and so, or I cannot see how God permits them to go unchecked. You know the thoughts. And now here comes the Christ within your being. That is the Christ of you. And it's saying to this very image and thought that you have a grudge against, it is saying, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. To the thief on the cross, hanging next to that Christ consciousness, that presence says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And there's no grudge whatsoever. There's no judgment whatsoever. And so this impersonal love is flowing equally to whomsoever will. It does not flow through Jesus any more to his mother than it does to the thief on the cross. What did he say of his mother? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those that do the will of my Father. So you see, this invisible, impersonal love flows to all equally and the same. Years ago, many years ago, I was married to a lady that, because of our difficulties, she felt she would find an answer in someone else's arms. And she left, and committed adultery. She slept with someone else. This was before I had learned of these principles, and humanly, it hurt, and it hurt bad. And yet, the answer that I found at the time was to be an instrument to be a transparency for that love to flow out to all. And in doing that, I discovered that it is impossible to lose somebody because you never have anybody. It's impossible to own somebody. And I learned that that love flowed through me just as much for her and for him as it did for the greatest saint. I felt no difference whatsoever. In fact, the man that took her to bed came to my house and asked me for forgiveness. And I hugged him, and we talked, and I shared, and I loved him as much as I loved anybody in my life. But that was not a personal love. That was an impersonal love flowing through me, and I recognized it as such. So giving our first fruits, our first prayers to our enemies can rocket us forward into this fourth dimension. Can really, really speed up our progress. I am reminded of the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. See if you can find a place in this prayer where he is praying for something for himself, because I can't find it. He says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Now that's praying for your enemies. Obviously, this man is incapable of hatred. So therefore, he is praying for his enemy. Where my enemies are, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. In other words, in the deepest, darkest pit of humanhood, I would that you make me an instrument for your presence to flow there. He continues with, O Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. You see, this is impersonal. This is not a human being praying. No. This is the spirit within the man praying to the master, that is the master consciousness, God itself, and asking that he be an instrument for this love, and that as an instrument, as a channel, he will console and understand and love. For it is in giving that we receive. And by the way, that's the only way we can receive. I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. You must be the channel through which that life flows. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. How do you think that you heal and become healed? How do you think that you find your own Christ identity? There's only one way, and it is by healing your enemy, any enemy. In recognizing the Christ where your enemy appears to be, you become the Christ. In recognizing the presence of God right in the darkness of humanhood, right where the darkness of humanhood appears, you bring alive the recognition of the presence of God right where you appear to be. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In dying to a limited human sense of love, a personal sense of love, we awaken to that eternal love flowing everywhere, omnipresent, eternally. Do we see the kind of conditioning that we are learning to come up over? The conditioning that says that my personal likes are more important than strangers. Some 33 years ago, maybe 32 years ago, I pondered this, and I went to two spiritual men, and I asked them a question. The first one was somewhat of a street person. He found the presence of God in the gutters in the streets of Los Angeles, living there as a wino. One day he had a spiritual awakening. And I asked this very spiritual person, how did he love his wife? And he told me, kind of crass, but he told me, if the whole world was on fire, I guess I would put her out first. Well, that did not strike me as an undying, passionate love. And so I waited a few years until I met another man, probably the most loving man I have ever met on the planet Earth. This man had a love that was contagious. His eyes simply sparkled with it. His smile was contagious. And everywhere he went, there was standing room only to hear him speak. And I went to this man, and I approached him quietly and went up to his house with him, and I asked him, how do you love your wife? And this man said to me, well, if she passed away today, I think I would probably cry for 5 or 10 minutes. And then that's it. I would get up and be about my father's business. Incidentally, this same man said to me, this world is the kingdom when we learn to see it right. And he also said, it's our business to help God's kids, and it's God's business to take care of us, period. And so from these two men, I had something to contemplate, didn't I? Here they had been married for, well, in one case, 40 years, 45 years. And yet, there seemed to be no element of specialness. It seemed to be that they had found another kind of love. And I watched them, too, how their relationship was. And when they were together with their spouses, they were happy. There was harmony. And yet each person in that partnership was intensely busy working with others to help bring them to the light. And so I came to see that there's a more mature form of love. And that's what we're talking about today. Rather than a personal, dependent, human kind of love that has personal prejudices and likes and dislikes, we're coming up higher now. We're learning that there is an impersonal Christ love, an impersonal God love, and that we can be channels for that to flow out. And we are learning that the divine presence at the center of our being did not mislead us when it told us that we must pray for our enemies first. I have searched and I have asked, and I have asked many ministers, preachers, about this, and I see very few examples where the church body prays for the enemies first. Most of the time, the prayers that go out are, please help our men and women in the service and bring them home safely, or something like that. I want you to know, and I'm not telling you this to try to build myself up, I'm telling you this just simply to tell you the truth, that on the morning of 9/11, my family gathered together and we prayed for the men on those airplanes. We prayed for their families back home. We prayed for their country and their countrymen and women and children. We prayed that God's presence would be recognized even there. Because that's how we have been instructed to pray. And then, of course, we also included our own countrymen and the people that were suffering here. But when the Christ says something to us, I believe the Christ with all my heart knows what it's saying. And so this talk today is simply a wake-up call, simply pointing out another principle that came to me once again in my morning meditation, that if we pray for anyone, we need to pray for everyone exactly the same. This places it on a much higher level. This makes of our prayer divine rather than human. And you will never know the results until you've tried it. It was after I prayed for that man that took my wife home that he renounced the whole thing and came to me and asked for forgiveness. And so strange things happen, but I can tell you this, freedom is revealed. God's love really does flow through you, and in a way you know not of, it awakens in that very enemy an awareness of itself. So once again, our brother, Jeshua, listening to the Christ of his being, has given us the precise instructions to set ourselves free, to set our brothers and sisters free, to set the world free. And we're going to do it. And we're going to start today. Let us, in this new year now, take this as one of our firm principles that we are going to stand on. We are going to pray for our enemies, for those that persecute us, despitefully use us, for those that we perceive as being selfish and mean and egotistical, for those tyrants, for those dictators, or for those imperialists and capitalists that go around the world chewing up the natural resources and calling it democracy. Whatever you perceive as an enemy to yourself, an enemy to women and children, an enemy to the planet, an enemy to even an enemy to God. Whatever you perceive as an enemy, that is the one, the very one, that we need to reach by becoming in open channel for divine love to flow forth. You will discover that there is work to do on planet Earth for those that are awakening to the light. And if you have signed on the dotted line and committed yourself to awakening, to becoming an instrument for my peace, then this is one of the steps that separates the grown-ups from the children. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. You remember? But now it's time to put aside childish things. Now it's time to become one of those workers. We can make a difference. We can be an instrument for the resurrection of Christ, for the resurrection of the awareness of the presence of God on earth. There are so many blessings in this talk today. You will discover them by taking the principles and applying them in your life, in your family life, your town, your nation, the world. Blessings. My peace and divine love flow through you now. Amen.